Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Ayers LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. The following is an article from October 6, 2024, published by The New Yorker, titled "The Echoes of Loss and Legacy as the NHL Returns." The author of this article was Louisa Thomas. My name is Yash Parikh, and today I will be reading this article for you. In the run-up to hockey season, Wayne Gretzky reflects on the deaths of Johnny and Matthew Goodrow. In 1981, Wayne Gretzky, playing for the Edmonton Oilers, broke the single-season NHL points record, finishing with 164 points in his second-ever season in the league. He was, at the time, 20 years old, and small even in pads, yet no one could touch him. He was fast. Good on his edges, that was part of it. But he wasn't that fast. No one could touch him because he knew where everyone else was skating. And not only skating, but turning and stopping. He understood how to misdirect attention and where to find empty spaces on the ice. He determined how the puck would move and could see where to send it. He was a prodigy with a prophetic type of genius. And he was able to use his anticipation to leverage surprise, which gave him the reputation of a magician. People like magic. Kids, adults, little ahs would bubble up from the crowd when he threaded an unexpected, perfect pass through someone's legs or a gap the size of the puck. They talked about how he felt the flow of the game, how he had eyes in the back of his head. His own explanation, which has since become kind of a business school catechism, came from his father, Walter. "I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it has been." And Warren Buffet has quoted this. It wasn't magic. It was geometry, physics, vectors. "People talk about skating, puck handling, and shooting," Gretzky once said, "but the whole sport is angles and caroms, forgetting the straight direction the puck is going, calculating where it will be diverted, and factoring in all the interruptions." He was immediately hockey's best goal scorer in one game that season against the St. Louis Blues. He scored 5 goals, 4 of which were in the third period. He was also a revolutionary passer. Back then, the game was focused on stopping the guy with the puck. He turned every player on his team into a threat. Partway through Gretzky's rookie year, the Oilers brought in a young center named Don Ashby to patch a hole left by an injured player. He joined Gretzky's line and became a sensation. 10 goals and 9 assists in the last 18 games of the 1979-80 season, an output no one saw coming. Ashby started the following season with the Oilers and finished it with the Wichita Wind, a minor league team. Then, in the offseason, he died in a car crash at 26 years old. The funeral was in June, and Gretzky visited Ashby's family the day after the service. The next season began a few months later. The logic, or illogic, of life was one thing, but hockey offered another. A few months after Ashby's death, Gretzky scored 50 goals in 39 games. That season, he broke the single-season scoring record again, with 212 points. The Oilers won 4 Stanley Cups before Gretzky was traded to the Los Angeles Kings in 1988 and became the main catalyst for the NHL's expansion. When Gretzky retired in 1999, at the age of 38, he held or shared 61 NHL records, and he still holds nearly all of them. One of the major storylines this season, which begins in North America on Tuesday, is whether some of those records will be threatened. Alex Ovechkin, the Washington Capitals' left wing, is 41 goals away from reaching Gretzky's career goal-scoring record. Ovechkin had only 31 goals last season, but he scored at least 42 13 times in his career, including the season before last. The Oilers' Connor McDavid broke Gretzky's record for most assists in the playoffs during the Stanley Cup Finals last season, and is the player most often compared to Gretzky. If he continues accumulating points at his current pace, he would become the only player besides Gretzky to finish his career with more than 2,000 points. Another plot line is whether McDavid, who was named the most valuable player in the 2024 Stanley Cup Finals, even though the Oilers had lost to the Florida Panthers in 7 games, will be able to carry the team to its first Stanley Cup victory in 35 years, assuming the mantle of the Great One, as Gretzky has been called since he was 10 years old. Wayne Gretzky has stayed in the game in various ways. These days, he is commentating on NHL games for TNT. "I'm not sure I could play it today because these players are so good," he told me, and it was hard to tell if he was joking. It's true that the players tend to be bigger, faster, and more skilled now. the game has changed in no small part because of his impact. When he was coming up, teams were more concerned with stopping goals instead of scoring them. There were rules that slowed the pace down and more of an emphasis on trapping. There was a lot of hooking and holding. Goalies stood up to stop shots instead of mutating to block them. Equipment was rudimentary. Since then, some rules have been changed to open up the ice and allow for more offense, which, as Gretzky made obvious, is quite exciting. There is far more parity. Every game is hard now. Teams are more offensively minded. Everyone learned from Gretzky how to use the net as a pick or a pro, how to manipulate patterns, how to involve teammates. There is more coaching at every level, more of an emphasis on passing, and more speed. Computers can confirm what his brain intuitively calculated, and the number of people who know how to use that data has increased. This is the logic of sport. It's natural progression. Training regimens improve, records are broken, nearly 1,000 more than the player with the next highest total. But sometimes, the illogic of life interrupts. It has been hard to think about the start of the season, to make predictions, or speculate about breakout athletes. Because at the end of August, Johnny Gaudreau, a 31-year-old Columbus Blue Jackets player, and his brother Matthew were killed by an allegedly drunk driver. Their brothers had been riding bicycles on the day before their sister's wedding. Gaudreau, like Gretzky, had been a smaller player, quick and hard to catch. Even though he was small, he thought the game on an entirely different level. He sees things that other players are going to do before they even think of what they're going to do. One of the scouts for the Calgary Flames, which drafted Gaudreau in 2011, said of him, "He was probably the smartest, most creative player that I ever scouted in the United States. A lot of the way that he played the game and saw the game reminded me of Gretzky." Gaudreau had thrived on the Flames for his skill and his flair and his passion. Fans called him Johnny Hockey. Then 2 years ago, he left his team in Calgary for the one in Columbus. The move was puzzling from a professional standpoint. It shocked everyone, including apparently the Blue Jackets, but it made sense to him. His father had recently had health issues, his wife was pregnant, and he said, "I've learned a lot about the person I want to be, which is a good son, a good husband, and soon, a good father." Gaudreau's wife was pregnant with their third child when he died, and his brother Matthew's wife was pregnant with their first. I asked Gretzky about the brothers' deaths and the impact on the entire hockey community. Gretzky started by talking about Don Ashby, his teammate who had died just as Gretzky's career had started soaring. "He still thinks about Ashby," he told me, "more than 40 years later. The Gaudreau brothers' death was senseless," he said. "Here was a disruption that didn't compute. It seems to always happen to the nicest people, the nicest guys," he went on. And though he didn't know Gaudreau well, this one hit him hard, he said, because of his own children. I could hear him trying to make sense of it. "You think about what the families are going through," he told me, and he started talking about family in the same way that Gaudreau had, in that Players Tribune letter, about the bonds that young parents form with their children and that older children form with their fathers, and the worry and hope that families have for each other. "I feel heart-wrenched for their entire family and for their friends, and obviously for the fans who love watching them play. Sometimes we just don't even understand what it's all about." And that's the end of the article. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AirZLA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. The article we just read is from October 6, 2024, published by The New Yorker, and was titled "The Echoes of Loss and Legacy as the NHL Returns." The author of this article was Louisa Thomas. My name is Yash Parikh, and thank you once again so much for listening.